A specter is haunting the world.
The specter of communism. Everybody, so welcome to this podcast that we don't exactly have a name for yet, but we're working on that. But I'm Alina, and we're here to talk about the Communist Party and how we relate to it. And I feel like we always find ourselves talking about how we fit into this crazy system of power, privilege, oppression, how we navigate our society and our political landscape and our social landscape. So I think we should just start talking about it as much as possible, all the time.
I totally agree. I think, my name is Susie, by the way. Lena and I both are based out of Cleveland, Ohio.
You're actually in Cleveland proper right now.
Yeah. In the flats.
In the flats. It doesn't get any more Cleveland than this. Yeah. I mean, it probably does, but we're here.
But yeah, so we're based out of Cleveland, Ohio, but this podcast is really national just because we have our other comrades are basically around the country creating episodes as well, talking about what they want to talk about. Do you want to should we talk about the length and the party?
Yeah, so I guess I joined close to 2012, maybe 2013, I was working on a campaign around the Affordable Care Act, and I met Rick Nagin, who is the state party's district leader, and he was volunteering for me, and everyone told me I had to meet Rick Nagin. You know, he's a communist, but, you know, he's active in everything. He's great. He's a guy you need to know. So from there, I started going to meetings sporadically, and then eventually I became consistent and started joining different organizations. Me and Susie helped organize a youth school last summer in Chicago. So whenever I can, I am working on something.
I'm pretty new to the party. I joined last year. Backstory, I went to school at the Evergreen State College, and I had been introduced to social justice and also the foundations of oppression and privilege. And I was always really interested in that. And my partner, Blake, he had invited me to a communist meeting at his house one night in Cleveland after I had graduated. And the stuff that, actually, Alina was there, the stuff that they were talking about was crazy to me because I had talked about privilege and oppression and all that stuff, but I had never even considered the component of class oppression, class-based oppression, and what it means to be poor in this country and the different types of obstacles poor people face and the system that basically creates this division between the lower, middle, upper class. So I was just kind of a little bit blown away by the conversations that were being had, and also the fact that not only were the people that were holding and facilitating these conversations, you know, intellectual, but they were also activists. They actually went out into the community and did stuff. So that was something that was really cool, and I wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah, something also that I always love telling people is that I've never been connected to so many older white men in my life. And the Communist Party definitely has a lot of them. But at the same time, we have a lot of younger people that are stepping up to the plate. And we have a pretty diverse group of people across the country. We're working on that some more in Cleveland. But I felt very connected with Rick and some other older comrades who were very good on their history and knew where they were on the right side of history, I'd say, and they continue to do so. Yeah, it's been hard to kind of to shake the party, and I think we have a lot to talk about and also a lot to learn and a lot to share.
Well, first we should talk about like what we're even doing right now. Like, why are we making this episode? Why is this, dude, we feel like this is needed. Did you want to?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess, you know, there's a lot of comrades throughout the country who, first of all, we're all kind of disconnected in a way. We don't talk very frequently, so this will give us a way to communicate in a different kind of way so they know what we're working on in Cleveland, and the other podcasts will be able to share what they're doing.
And I also feel like even if you're not a communist, I want you to connect with us. Like, I want you to be thinking these things. I know that there are people out there, young people out there, that are thinking the same things, that are confused mm-hmm. about the same things, that mm-hmm. are asking the same questions. And I want you to know that you're not alone. And there are so many young people out here that are looking for answers and to connect. Yeah. And I think that that's going to be really powerful. Just because I don't think that we're going to bullshit around.
Yeah. I mean, and also I think it'll let people know that communism is not this far-fetched idea that cannot relate to anyone that, you know, you may know. I never thought I'd be a communist. It's not something that I just, like, woke up and decided to do or be. But I think we all share a lot, like Susie said, we share a lot of the same thoughts and ideals, and this is a way that we can all come together and move forward.
Yeah. I never thought that I would be a communist either. But at the same time, I didn't really grow up in a household that denounced communism, that was scared of communism. Like, yeah. I didn't really know what it was growing up. I just, like, honestly, just kind of learned about it.
Yeah, I mean, me too, kind of. Well, okay. Not exactly. So I didn't even grow up in a political household at all. I mean, I know my parents voted. I know, you know, they were paying attention to a degree, but we were not political. Only did my family only became political after I got political, actually, because I started to tie them into all these events that I was throwing or trainings that I had when I was working, like, for Enroll America, when I was enrolling people with health insurance. I was giving my family all types of tasks and, like, questioning them. And then as soon as I, you know, declared that I was a communist, then, of course, you know, some people had a lot to say. So we're still working on those conversations, but even this podcast will help kind of break down those conversations, those tough conversations that I still have to have. I'm still trying to navigate. So
yeah.
We are going to get through this together.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I think it's, like, important to preface that we don't know. We don't have the answers. Right. All the answers. We don't know what communism will look like or does look like officially. I feel like a bad communist saying that, but it's like, and I also feel like a bad communist saying, I just learned about communism and I'm now a communist. But I think at the end of the day, communists are amazing intellectuals and also activists in their community, and they really advocate for working people. They want to protect the rights of working people and also restore the wealth that working people create every day of their lives.
Yes. I think we all feel the same way at the root of it, as far as, like, we know we work hard, but most of the time it doesn't feel like it pays off. And I think communists historically understand that, acknowledge that, and do everything to progress and advance our rights, and so we can get out of those situations where we feel devalued and exploited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like this is something a lot of people can relate to. It's like, okay, I work 40 plus hours a week. I put in all this work, all these hours every single day to pay my rent, to pay for food, pay for transportation, gas, etc. And yet,
student loans, probably.
Oh, yeah. Oh, not and other types of debt.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah.
Like credit card debt, car loans. And yet, I'm still struggling. I'm still not able to afford, like, good health care. Mm-hmm. I struggle to pay my debt. I struggle to even like have money to have fun.
Right, right. We need some peace of mind or like just a release sometimes. Yeah. And let alone having a kid, like, oh my goodness, that's a whole nother thing. So it's like, you can't even really afford to have a kid, you know, like it's a whole thing, you know, it shouldn't have to be so life altering to start a family.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
And I think that you can't help but wonder, like, what is really going on here? Because mm-hmm. I'm putting in all this work, mm-hmm. yet I'm not being rewarded. I'm not mm-hmm. being taken care mm-hmm. of by my government. Like, I'm not, yeah. not in that, you know, I should be able to work, not work at all and still be taken care of, but I'm putting in all this effort and mm. all these hours of my life is passing me by, and yet I'm still struggling. Like, you have mm-hmm. to wonder, what is really going on here? Like, what yeah. is, what system
yeah.
is yeah. is working at right now right. that is causing this?
Right, right. And even on the social level, like, why the fact that we can't even progress, like, as people beyond certain, like, beyond certain, like, oppressions,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can't move forward. So even that, you're thinking, like, how come no one understands that they should respect me as a person, as a woman, as a Black woman? So there's so many things. It's like, this has to be bigger than just this person and this person, this person, and then wait, mm-hmm. all of these people, you know, yeah. are under the same, you know, umbrella.
Yeah. And it's like crazy because some people still think that your success in life is directly equated to the amount of work that you put
right,
in.
Right.
It's like, bitch, we're all working.
Trash.
We're all yeah. working 40 hours, yeah. girl. Like, we're yeah. not, like, yeah. I am not sitting on my ass all day. Well, I am because my job, I do sit. I actually do sit on my ass
but
all day. But
on that ass, you were working.
I am working. I am emotionally draining, yeah. drained the whole time. Yeah. But, yeah, it's like, no, we're all working hard. We're all, you know, in this together. Mm-hmm. It's not my fault that I'm poor.
Yeah, yeah. All of us cannot be doing everything wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's just something's got to give. And I think the more we have these conversations, the more we will come to solutions. Be them, you know, they'll probably be small and slow moving. But,
yeah.
They definitely will be, not probably.
Right.
But at least we'll have a sense of community. And then we'll feel better that we're being active and working towards finding solutions and putting them into action.
Yeah.
That makes the struggle a little bit better, at least for me.
I think so. Because I just also feel like when you get together with people and you organize,
mm-hmm.
you demand for something to change, and mm-hmm. it actually does change, that is mm-hmm. the best feeling in the world. That is mm-hmm. the most empowering feeling ever,
mm-hmm.
because it makes you feel like you actually do have, like, a sense of, a little bit of control, mm-hmm. you know, of yeah. how shit goes, of how yeah. your life goes, and that's, like, that's really important, I think, for people, for regular workers in America,
yeah.
Middle class, lower class, you know, people, I think it's important for them to feel capable and that their voice actually does matter
yeah, yeah.
and can make a difference. I think it's just a matter of organizing and getting the numbers, getting enough people together.
Right, right, right. I think with people comes power.
Mm-hmm. Can I mention one thing, though, before? Because, like, I think it's important to mention that these ranks, you know, like race, gender, sex, I think it's important to mention that with the rank system, it's these categories are fake.
Mm-hmm.
They're socially mm-hmm. constructed yeah. categories.
Yeah.
Just because you're a woman doesn't mean you're not worthy or mm-hmm. you are not of value. It's
right.
That's like a really important thing, because I think that's what trips a lot of people up who aren't educated on the rank system. I think that they like to think that because these categories are false, that they don't exist.
Right, right. Because you may not see it, but it's happening. And even if you're not doing it, it's still happening. Like, it's all around us, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what a system is. Everything is constructed based on this false hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And then beyond that, I think another level that adds into people being dismissive of those ranks is the fact that everyone thinks that they are being oppressed. Everyone, even white people now, that's why you have the white supremacy groups and things like that. Everyone thinks someone's out to get them or take something from them, or they're, you know, dying off and like, oh no, we're losing, you know, white people, you know, so we need to protect what's left. Mm-hmm. So until we all realize that the enemy is the structure, the system, capitalism, then we're all going to be kind of against each other or working against each other. It's capitalism that is oppressing us all and taking something away from us all, not just you.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, and I think the more educated you are on the system, the more you'll actually recognize it. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, you'll see the system at work. I do feel like I had mentioned, though, a little bit. Well, not really, because, like, when I had first joined, like, went to the first Communist Party club, I was like, oh my god, this element of class analysis is amazing. And mm-hmm. I do feel like that's just one thing that kind of differentiates communists from other leftists, is that we actually do analyze capitalism as a system, and mm-hmm. we don't want to work within the confines of capitalism. We want to dismantle the system, and we're for revolution, not just reform.
I'm not sure how much of this I should go into, but working for other political organizations, I quickly realized that that is not the agenda. And it's really to just kind of uphold the status quo, really. And when it's so clearly, fundamentally fragmented and just corrupt, really. So, but working with communists, you know, it's just a solid foundation of supporting people. And like we said, we keep saying over and over, you know, progressing those people forward, which I don't think is found in any other leftist or even group.
And I think it's kind of ironic, though, because capitalists use this rank system to divide the working class. They mm-hmm. use it as a weapon, as a tool, to prevent us from collaborating and organizing together as working people and yep. demanding our rights yep. and better living and working conditions and healthcare. Mm-hmm. It all, I think, ties in together. Like, that's why communism is so important, is because we understand that capitalism is kind of at the root of this system of power, privilege, or not power, but at the system of privilege and oppression. And it weaponizes that rank system against the people. Like, it will actually convince working class people that the cause of their lack of rights, lack of healthcare, lack of jobs are illegal immigrants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I always, you know, say all roads lead back to slavery, you know? So once people were no longer able to be separated by religion, then they were separated by race. And that was all with the goal of making more money. So people could produce more and just make more money, own more land, produce more. And they wouldn't be able to do that if everyone was working together, because with so few in power, it is easy to see how they are getting ahead while you're still stuck doing the same job. And like you said, the objective of this capitalist system is to divide and conquer. So when you understand that even essentially racism was orchestrated by capitalists, it is hard to support capitalist endeavors. Mm. So, yeah, fuck capitalism.
So, yeah, fuck capitalism. Yeah, I mean, I, like, as a not as a capitalist, but if I was a capitalist, it'd be so easy for me to exploit the labor of my workers if they weren't talking to each other. Mm-hmm. If they weren't working to, you know what I mean? Like, if they weren't, they didn't know how to organize, they didn't know that they deserve better, it'd be really fucking easy to trick them into thinking that I care about them and, you know, the the $2.75 an hour wage I give them is what they deserve.
Right, right.
Talk about what we're kind of, like, working on.
One day I woke up, one day being 3 weeks ago, and I was invited to China for China's Communist Party's 70th year anniversary. They are hosting an international workshop in Beijing and some other cities, and I'll be like flying around China for 10 days and learning about the great work they're doing environmentally. They're leading the nation and like, or they're leading the world rather, in their waste management. Granted, they still have a lot to because it's China's so huge, but their progress beats everybody else's.
They've won.
They've won. Per huge. Yeah, so China's happening in like 3 days. No, I'm not packed. Maybe I'll have a visa when I get home. Who knows?
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It's kind of up in the air. And so there's two other people going. There's a guy in New York. And another woman in LA who's going. So it should be fun. Gonna be delegates from UK as well.
That's gonna be exciting. Maybe we can get like a cool little update from you on the next episode. Mm. What happened? Like what you saw, what the all the cool stuff they're doing over there. I am going on a non-communist related vacation. But after that, we'll just be kind of recording more podcasts and also preparing for the National Convention, which is in June, right? June 24th?
21st. Through 21st. In there somewhere, maybe.
Yeah. So that's going to be cool. Yep. I think, like, next episode, we might go into the skill sets for targets and agents, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I just feel like it's something that everyone can relate with. Like, the type of stuff you have to do and learn as an agent or a target.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.